The airspeeder's transponder, identifying its pilot as the Republic's Supreme Chancellor, kept them comfortably free of interfering security personnel. With only a fraction of his attention needed for piloting, Palpatine let his senses weave around his passengers as they stared down at the city, nervously anticipating the destruction to come. Since surprising them in deep conversation the other day, after the Senate sitting, he'd begun to wonder if a problem wasn't developing. What he learned now was illuminating and alarming.
"She loves Anakin," he thought. "There's no question of it. She stinks of love for him. It's nauseating. Useful, but nauseating. But does she realize she's attracted to Organa? No, I don't think so. He's a friend. She admires him. Her heart belongs to Anakin. But Anakin will soon be torn from her. War will keep them apart. And male friends can sometimes become far more."
It was the merest danger, not even the hint of a hint, hardly worth his consideration. But he hadn't achieved what he'd achieved by leaving anything to chance. The smallest suggestion of an impediment to his plans could not be ignored.
"And what of this lump of a senator, this dull, worthy Bale? He's married, but his barren wife remains distant on Alderaan. He's an honorable dolt. He would never betray her, yet he has feelings for Naboo's brave little former queen. Respect and admiration are a dangerous mix. These senators work closely together, and that can make for fertile ground."
An interesting conundrum, then. On the one hand, there was Anakin, influenced by Kenobi, who stubbornly, inconveniently, refused to die. And on the other hand, his Padme, slavishly devoted, but at the same time vulnerable to the constant presence of Bail Organa.
"Though she remained faithful, discontent and distance might start a rot. And Anakin is faithful, too. He rails against Kenobi, but would die for him in a blink."
The time had come to kill two birds with one stone.
"Oh, no," said Anakin's wife, almost weeping. "Oh, Bail, look, it's the Central Court Complex. What's left of it?"
Obligingly, Palpatine swooped the airspeeder groundward, affording them a closer view of the terrorists' bombs' most satisfying results. Not even transperisteel windows and duranium-reinforced outer walls had been able to withstand the powerful blasts. The judicial buildings were ruined, peeled apart like ripe tilly fruit. And the destruction didn't end there. Littered across the wide, spacious concourse was the twisted wreckage of airspeeders, gondolas, shuttles, and city bikes blown out of the sky and fallen groundward again in a bitter, bloody rain. Over there, in the main fountain, how delightful, an entire broken maxi-bus. Not even smoke damage and charring could disguise the spilled, splashed gore. The falling vehicles had further damaged the surrounding court buildings. Coruscant's judicial processes would be crippled for weeks, if not months. Tensions would rise, dissatisfaction would spread, cancerous, through the city's fragile fabric.